إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، then to continue with العقيدة الطحاوية. With the explanation of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah, and just briefly, first of all, an announcement. The questions which are usually put onto Salafi talk with regard to the lessons, and the questions with regard to today's lesson will be put on tomorrow, inshaAllah. Then, in addition to that, with regard to last week, we had the final part with regard to Al-Qadr, pre-decree. And the first mention here in this part of Al-Arsh and Al-Kursi. So we had points number 111 all the way through to point 117. So with regard to that, then, who can remember or who can mention the point about belief in Qadr, pre-decree? Which branch of Tawheed does that fall into? Belief in Al-Qadr, pre-decree, which branch of Tawheed does that fall into? Yeah, as the brother said, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Tawheed of Allah's Lordship. Then the question, why does it fall into Tawheed of Lordship? Why does it fall into that branch of Tawheed?
Because it's from his actions.
Yeah. No. Because pre-decree concerns Allah's actions. And that falls under Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Allah's actions, that is Tawheed, with regard to Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Tawheed of Allah's Lordship. Who can remember from what we had the comparative sizes that were mentioned with regard to the earth and the seven heavens in comparison to the Kursi, and likewise the Kursi with compared to the Arsh? What is the comparative sizes of those tremendous things? Heavens, seven heavens compared to the Kursi. Yeah, what's authentic? Rebutted everybody else, but what's else? ولكن أخذنا عن الحديث ضعيف. ضعف الشيخ الألباني. فبقي ماذا يعني؟ بقي أثر صحيح عن ابن عباس. As we had that in the authentic narration, that the seven heavens compared to the Kursi are like a ring thrown in a desert, and likewise the Kursi compared to the Arsh is like a ring thrown in a desert. We did have the narration in the text that the seven heavens compared to the Kursi are like seven dirhams, seven silver coins thrown in a shield. But we had that the verifiers of Kitab al-Tawheed and likewise Shaykh al-Albani, they mentioned this narration is not authentic. Its chain of narration is munqati', disconnected. And as for the authentic narration, then we had that the authentic narration mentions that the seven heavens compared to the kursi is like a ring thrown in a desert, and the greatness of the arsh, the throne, over the kursi is like the same, like a ring thrown in the desert. Who can remember the meaning of Al-Kursi? The meaning of Al-Kursi. What does the Kursi refer to? No. The Kursi is the place of the 2 feet. Can we translate it as something like the footstool? As it is mentioned as being the place of the 2 feet. What's the evidence for that? Who can remember the evidence for that? No. We heard that it's authentic as the saying of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Al-Kursi mawdi' al-qadamain. Mawdi' al-qadamain. That the Kursi is the place of the 2 feet. And as for the narration that we had that was authentic, we had it in the notes that Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, that he mentioned that Al-Hakim reports, and Ibn Abi Shaybah, in his book Sifatul Arsh, that he reports the hadith. With regard to the wording, the seven heavens compared to the kursi, the footstool, are just like a ring thrown in a desert. And the size of the arsh, the throne, compared to the kursi, the footstool, is like the size of that desert compared to the ring. That was the hadith that we had authentic. Sifat al-arsh. A further question then. How did Sheikh Al-Fawzan, in his explanation, how did he respond to those who misinterpret Al-Kursi to mean Allah's knowledge? What did Sheikh Al-Fawzan say about that? Apart from the fact that it's wrong, those who say Al-Kursi means Allah's knowledge. How did Sheikh Al-Fawzan respond to that? He said that with regard to the kursi, then that is something created, it's a part of Allah's creation. And with regard to Allah's knowledge, then Allah's knowledge, his ilm, is one of his attributes, not created. So these are two separate things. And ilm, Allah's knowledge, is an attribute of his, whereas the kursi is part of the creation. We also had that some people misinterpret the arsh. They interpret the arsh away, they give a wrong meaning to the arsh. What was that meaning that they give to it? Like the Ash'aris and their like. Yeah. They say it means sovereignty or kingship. It refers to Allah's sovereignty or his kingship. And how did Sheikh Al-Fawzan respond to that?
Because the angels carry sovereignty.
No. He mentioned the ayah which came throughout the explanation. وَيَحْمِلُ أَرْشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةً. The ayah from Surah Al-Haqqah, the 69th surah, ayah 17. With the explanation, on that day, the day of resurrection, 8 angels will bear the arsh of your Lord. So I said the arsh means the throne. If it meant sovereignty, how can they understand it that way? 8 angels are going to carry Allah's sovereignty, his kingship. And finally, before we move on, then there was a slight point of homework, if you remember. It occurred in the explanation that with regard to the ayah we just heard from Surah Al-Haqqah, وَيَحْمِلُوا عَرَشَ رَبِّكَ فَوْقَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةً. With the explanation, on that day, the day of resurrection, 8 bearers eight bearers from the angels will carry the throne of your Lord. Then it occurred in the explanation that applies to the day of resurrection. As for before the day of resurrection, the angels who bear the throne are four in number. So then the question was asked, what's the evidence for that? So then, not knowing the answer, I said, that's homework. So how far did we get with the homework? Did we get anywhere with it? Any movement? Nobody listened to Bob talk? Anyway, Sheikh Ubaid, hafidhullah, was asked a question on Pal Talk, quite topically. So Sheikh Ubaid, hafidhullah, then he mentioned, this is for us, it's something to abridge what he said, he mentioned this is something that's a common saying of the people, that before the Day of Judgment, the throne will be carried by four angels, and it will be on the Day of Judgment that it will be eight. So this is a common saying of the people. I mean, it's not something established in authentic text. Then, in addition to that, then there are a couple of hadith which are not authentic, which mention the like of that. So we'll just mention them just for a point of benefit. Two hadith which mention about the angels being four in number before the day of judgment, and then being increased on the day of judgment. As we said, this is not authentic. It's just for reference. The first is a hadith known as Hadith al-Sur. It's a hadith which is famous with the scholars of hadith called Hadith al-Sur, a hadith of the horn which will be blown for the resurrection. And it's a very long hadith, goes on for a number of pages, reported by At-Tabari in his tafsir. At-Tabari in his book of long narrations, a hadith al-Tiwal, and Abu Ya'la in his Musnad, and others. And it's quoted as a hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, with the wording attributing it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah, inna Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, lamma faragha min khalqi samawati wal ard, khalaqa as-sur. That Allah, the Blessed and Most High, when He finished the creations of the heavens and the earth, He created the horn. And the hadith continues, and it's a very long hadith. And some of these scholars, they say actually this hadith, it's been put together from many different hadith, all been stuck together, and it's ended up reported as a single hadith. And this, it contains the wording, يَحْمِلُ أَرْشَهُ يَوْمَئِذٍ ثَمَانِيَةً وَهُمُ الْيَوْمُ أَرْبَعَةً And in the middle of the hadith is that wording, that on that day, I mean the day of resurrection, His throne will be carried by eight, and it is today carried by four. And with regard to this hadith, it was declared to be weak by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, and lately by Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, he likewise declared this to be a weak hadith, not authentic. In his notes to Al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah, Sharh Al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah, note number 201, he doesn't mention this wording, but it's the same hadith, Hadith al-Sur. He said, it is da'if, weak. And he mentions that his chain of narration is weak because it contains a narrator, Ismail ibn Rafi' al-Madani, who narrates from Yazid ibn Abi Ziyad, and he said both of them are weak. Both of these are weak narrators, and they report it from a man from the Ansar. Somebody from the who's not from the companions, just a man from the Ansar, Sheikh Albani said, so he is unknown because he's not named. And the saying of Ibn Kathir in his tafsir, that this hadith is mashhur, famous, does not necessitate that it's authentic, as will not be hidden from the people of knowledge. In other words, Ibn Kathir mentions it in his tafsir and said it's mashhur, it's famous, but that doesn't mean it's authentic, it just means it's well known to the people. So this hadith is weak. Then a second hadith that's also weak, not authentic, is a hadith of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, again, attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, صَدَقَ أُمَيَّةُ بْنَ الصَّلْتِ فِي شَيْءٍ مِّن شِئْرِهِ قَالْ رَجُلٌ وَثَوْرٌ تَحْتَ رِجْلِ يَمِينِهِ وَالنُّسْرُ لِلْأُخْرَى وَلَيْثٌ مُرْصَدٌ. Or something like that. from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that Umayyah ibn As-Salt spoke truly in something from his poetry when he said, and this poetry is about the bearers of the throne, the carriers of the throne, when he said, a man and a bull beneath the right leg, and an eagle beneath the other, and a crouching lion. And the hadith, the poem continues. In other words, that the bearers of the throne are in these forms. There are four in number, and their forms are these. One is in the form of a man, one is in the form of a bull on the right-hand side, and then on the left-hand side, one in the form of an eagle, and another in the form of a crouching lion. Reported by Imam Ahmad and Al-Bayhaqi in Al-Asma wa Sifat and Ibn Abi Asim in his book As-Sunnah. Shaykh Al-Albani said about this hadith in his checking of As-Sunnah, Isnaduhu Da'if, his chain of narration is weak. His chain of narration is weak. All its narrators are reliable, however, its weakness is that it contains the an'ana of Ibn Ishaq. And its narrator, Muhammad Ibn Ishaq, he reports it by saying from. That's a weakness in the chain of it. So there are two narrations there. Both of them are weak, not authentic. Then, again, just for reference, then with regard to the angels being mentioned as being eight before the day of resurrection, then there is a weak hadith in that regard as well. A hadith not authentic, and it's a famous hadith called Hadith al-Aw'al, the hadith of the mountain goats. It's a hadith reported by Abu Dawood from a hadith of Al-Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib radiallahu an, where a hadith describes the different heaven, the heavens one above the other, and the distance between them being 71, 72 or 73 years. And then hadith mentions, and then above the seventh heaven there is an ocean, a sea. Between the bottom of it and the top of it is the like of what is between each heaven. And then above that, ثَمَانِيَةُ أَوْعَالِ, are eight mountain goats. And the explainers say, meaning eight angels in the form of mountain goats. And between their shoulders and their knees is a distance like that between each heaven. And then on their back, on their backs, is the arsh, the throne. Again, Sheikh Albani said, da'if. This hadith is weak, and he mentioned its chain of narration contains Abdullah ibn Umayrah, who Al-Dhahabi said is unknown. And Al-Bukhari said he is not known to have heard from the person he narrates it from. In other words, that hadith is weak as well. And just finally, there is a narration from one of the Tabi'een that has an authentic chain of narration, from one of the Tabi'een. Reported by Abu Shaykh in his book Al-Adhamah, and Al-Dhahabi in his book Al-Ulu, he reports from Hassan ibn Atiyyah, one of the Tabi'een, Hassan ibn Atiyyah, that he said, the bearers of the throne are eight. And then he mentions that they respond with a voice, which is a fine voice, and four of them say, Subhanaka wa bihamdik. He mentions something each of them says. And the other four say something else. So this narration mentions there being four, being eight altogether. Al-Dhahabi said its chain of narration is strong. Sheikh Albani said this chain of narration is strong, just as he said. But that's the saying just of one of the Tabi'een. Wallahu a'lam. Beyond that, Allahu a'lam. Then with regard to this week, then to begin with point 118, obviously following on from point 117, wal arshu wal kursiyu haqqun, and the throne and the footstool are true. Then comes point number 118. وَهُوَ مُسْتَغْنٍ عَنِ الْأَرْشِ وَمَا دُونَهُ. And he, meaning Allah, and he has no need of the throne and whatever is beneath it. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, said, do not imagine that the meaning of his saying, He the Most High, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ, Surah Al-A'raf, the seventh surah, ayah 54. with the explanation, and then he, Allah, ascended upon the throne. Sheikh Fawzan said, do not imagine that the meaning of that is that he has need of the throne. Don't imagine that Allah's ascending over the throne means that he has any need of the throne, the arsh. Just as someone from the creation would mount something from the creation. Don't think it's like the mounting or ascending upon something of the creation. Somebody from the creation ascending or mounting upon something from the creation. Don't think that. He said, rather Allah, the mighty and majestic, ascended upon the throne. And he has no need of the throne, nor of whatever is beneath the throne. All of the created beings are in total need of Allah. And he quotes the ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْسِكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ أَنْ تَزُولَا وَلَإِنْ زَالَتَا إِنْ أَمْسَكَهُمَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. Surah Fatir, the 35th surah, ayah 41. With the explanation, Allah holds the heavens and the earth so that they do not fall away from their places. And if they fell away, if they moved away, then none besides Him could hold them. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, so He, meaning Allah, He holds and supports the throne. And He holds and supports the heavens. And He holds and supports the earth and all the created beings by His power and His might. So they are in need of Him. And He has no need of them. He, the one free of all imperfections and the Most High. Then he said, and the fact that something is above something else does not necessitate that the thing which is higher has need of the thing which is beneath. That doesn't necessarily follow at all. The fact that one thing is higher and above one another thing, it doesn't mean that the higher thing has any need of the thing beneath it. He said, so the heavens are above the earth, and they are not in need of the earth. In all the heavens, they're above the earth, but they are not in need of the earth. So he's making the point there, don't think that Allah is in need of the throne. Don't think that. Then with regard to a point here from Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, then he said at this point, in his small notes, he said, the explainer, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, I mean Ibn Abil Izz, he said, the Shaykh Al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, he mentioned this speech here, having already mentioned the arsh, the throne, and the kursi, the footstool. So then afterwards he mentions that he has no need, he the perfect has no need of the throne and whatever is beneath the throne. And that's why Tahawi mentions this point here directly after last week's point. He mentioned Allah's throne and his kursi. Now he mentions this point to show that Allah the perfect has no need of that throne and whatever is beneath it. To make clear that his creating the throne to ascend over it is not because he had any need of it. He didn't create it because he needed to ascend over it, no. To make clear that his creating the throne to ascend over it was not because he had any need of it. Rather, for a great wisdom which was necessitated. I mean, there's great wisdom in the creation of the throne, so that's why he created it. And the fact that something above is above the thing which is beneath does not necessitate that the lower thing contains or encompasses or carries the higher thing. Nor does it mean that the thing which is higher is in need of that which is lower. So the Lord, the Most High, is far greater and more tremendous than His Highness should necessitate this. Then he said, rather, Allah's being high, His Highness, results in qualities particular to Him and in His bearing and carrying whatever is beneath by His power. By His power, I mean Allah supports everything in the creation by His power. And it necessitates the total need of the lower things for Him, and the fact that He, the Perfect, has no need whatsoever of what is beneath Him. And it necessitates, Allah's being above, necessitates His encompassing everything. He, the Mighty and Majestic. So He is above the throne. And He, by His power, supports the throne and its carriers. I mean, the arsh is carried by the eight angels. And it is Allah who supports and carries the throne and who supports and carries those who are carrying the throne. Allah supports all of that with His power. And He has no need of the throne. And the throne is in need of Him. And He encompasses the throne. And the throne does not encompass Him. And He confines the throne, and it does not confine Him. And all of these things are not possible for the creation. Then he said, and those people who deny al-ulu, those who deny that Allah is Allah's Highness, the people who deny His attributes, if they only accepted this detailed explanation, then they would be guided to the correct path. And they would know that intellect is in accordance with the text. And they would be proceeding behind the proof. However, they depart from the proof. So they go astray from the correct way. And the affair in that regard is just as Imam Malik rahimahullah said when he was asked about the saying of Allah the Most High, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ, Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah, ayah 53, with the explanation, then he ascended over the throne. He was asked about this and other things. So someone asked him, كَيْفَ اسْتَوَى, how did he ascend? So Imam Malik replied, istiwa, ascending, is known, and how is unknown. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Then likewise, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, in Dar Ta'arud al-Aql wal-Naql, he makes the same point. That is from Allah's great power, His tremendous power, that He supports the throne and whoever is carrying the throne. And they only support the throne because of power given to them by Allah. Then to continue with the text here, then with regard to the next point, 119, Muhitun bi kulli shay'in Muhitum bi kulli shay'in wa fawqahu. He, Allah, He encompasses everything and is above it. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, His knowledge encompasses everything. Where the Tahawi here says that Allah encompasses everything and is above it. He said, Muhitun, He encompasses with His knowledge, everything. Allah, with His knowledge, encompasses everything. And He is above the creation. So His knowledge encompasses everything. And he quotes the ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْفَى عَلَيْهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ. Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 5, with the explanation, nothing is hidden from Allah, nothing in the earth nor in the heavens. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and his encompassing everything is having knowledge of that. Allah encompasses everything means he has knowledge of everything. And apart from that, then Allah, the mighty and majestic, is above. As for Allah himself, then he is above. Then At-Tahawi continues with point 120. Alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullah. Point number 120. وَقَدْ أَعْجَزَ عَنِ الْإِحَاطَةِ خَلْقَهُ. And he has rendered his creation incapable of encompassing. Allah encompasses everything. Now that he has made his creation incapable of encompassing. He encompasses, but they don't. And he has rendered his creation incapable of encompassing. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so Allah, the Perfect and Most High, knows whatever is in front of them and whatever was behind them. And they do not encompass him in knowledge. Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, said, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 255. This part of Ayat al-Kursi. With the explanation, and they do not encompass anything from his knowledge except that which he wishes. His footstool extends over the heavens and the earth. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so Allah encompasses everything in knowledge. And he quotes the ayah, لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. Surah Al-Talaq, the 65th surah, ayah 12. And that's where, with the explanation, so that you should know that Allah has full power over everything, and that Allah has encompassed everything with knowledge. And with regard to the next point number 121, then the author moves on to a different topic here. So this part that just preceded was with regard to the arsh and the kursi, and the fact that Allah has no need of the arsh or the kursi or anything from his creation. Now he moves on, and that he encompasses them and they do not encompass him. Then point number 121, At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, says, وَنَقُولُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اتَّخَذَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا إِيمَانًا وَتَصْدِيقًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. He said, and we say that Allah took Ibrahim as an especially beloved one, Khalil, and that Allah spoke directly to Musa, saying that with Iman, with true faith, and testifying to the truth, and with full submission. So with regard to this point, then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, from the aqidah, from the creed and belief of the Muslims, is that the messengers, the Rusul, are the most excellent of the creation, and that the messengers, the Rusul, vary in levels of excellence. They vary, each one has a different level of excellence to the others. that the messengers vary in levels of excellence. Each one has a different level of excellence. He said, so they hold as their creed and belief that Allah took Ibrahim as a Khalil, as an especially beloved one. Just as Allah the Most High said, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, ayah 125, with the explanation, and Allah took Ibrahim as a Khalil, as an especially beloved. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and this word, al-khullah, it means the highest of the levels of love. This term referring to Khalil, the noun being al-khullah, he said, it is the highest of the levels of love. So Allah, the Majestic and Most High, loves, he has love for his believing servants, and for the muttaqeen, and Allah has love for the people of taqwa, those who are dutiful to him. And he has love for the muhsineen, the doers of good. And he loves those who frequently repent, at-tawabeen. And he loves al-mutatahhirin, he loves those people who purify themselves. Then he said, however, al-khulla is a special degree which is not attained, which has not been attained except by two of the creation. So in other words, Allah loves all these type of people he just mentioned here. The believers, believing servants of Allah, the people of taqwa, the doers of good, those who frequently repent, and those who purify themselves. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, however, this level, al-khulla, has not been reached except by two people from the creation. Ibrahim and Muhammad, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. So only two people are the Khalil of Allah, Ibrahim and Muhammad, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. He said, just as he, alayhi salatu was-salam, said, and then he quotes the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اتَّخَذَنِي خَلِيلًا كَمَا اتَّخَذَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. The saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah took me as an especially beloved one, Khalil, just as he took Ibrahim as an especially beloved one, Khalil. In a footnote, they mention that this is reported by Muslim, and you'll find it there as a hadith of Jundub radiallahu anhu. And something similar occurs in al-Bukhari, but not with this particular wording. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan said, mention the second point of this part of the text, and that Allah spoke directly to Musa. So Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes an ayah in that regard. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, ayah 164, with the explanation, and Allah spoke directly to Musa. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so he gave excellence, Allah gave excellence to some of the prophets over others, even though all of them were upon a very high level. I mean, all of the prophets and messengers were upon a very high level, all of them, upon a high level of excellence. He said, however, he gave some of them excellence over others. Then he said, however, Allah, the Majestic and Most High, gave excellence to some over others. Then he quotes the ayah, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهِ وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٍ. Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 253. With the explanation, those are the messengers. We gave excellence to some of them over others. From them are those to whom Allah spoke directly, and he raised some in degrees of excellence. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, so every prophet was given by Allah the Mighty and Majestic, a degree of excellence particular to him. Then he said, so he gave to Ibrahim and Muhammad alayhim as-salatu was-salam al-khulla. He gave to those two, to Ibrahim and to Muhammad alayhim as-salatu was-salam al-khulla, that he made them his specially beloved. And he gave to Musa the excellence that he spoke to him directly without an angel in between. And Musa heard his speech. So he, the perfect, called to him. Nadahu. Allah called to Musa. Nadahu. Wanajahu. And spoke privately to him. Nadahu. He called him. Wanajahu. And he spoke privately to him. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and the term al-munadat is... It explains what the term means in the language. Al-munadat, it means a raised voice, calling to someone. And al-munajat, the second one, is low voice, speaking with a low voice. So with regard to Musa alayhi salam, Allah did both of these to him. Allah called him, and then Allah spoke privately to him. He said both of these occurred for Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, and this was a virtue not attained by anyone besides him. Then he said, and he said at the end of the ayah, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا, the ayah we had before from Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, ayah 164, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى, and Allah spoke to Musa, taklima, with speech. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, he said takliman, with speech, meaning Allah spoke to him with speech. He said that for emphasis, so that no one can say this was something metaphorical. I mean, it's not real speech, it's just a figure of speech. He said, so the ayah is ended with the term takliman. Allah spoke to Musa takliman, with speech, so that no one could say that this was something metaphorical. So when he has emphasized it with this verbal noun, this proves that it is true and real speech from Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. So this contains affirmation of al-kalam, affirmation of speech for Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. And it contains affirmation of the virtue of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam over other prophets with regard to this characteristic. Then he makes a point, a principle, and the fact that a prophet had a particular quality special to him does not necessitate that he is better than the others unrestrictedly. Rather, it means that he was more excellent than other prophets with regard to this particular quality. That's where Shaykh al-Fawzan ends explanation of this point. I mean, that principle meaning just that a certain prophet was given a certain virtue that was made special for him. It doesn't mean that he's the best of all the prophets in every single matter. Out of all, he's the best of the prophets. No, it means in that particular quality, he was given that particular excellence. So he's most excellent in that regard. It doesn't mean in every regard. And just a side point. Then the explainer, Ibn Abil Izz, he said in his explanation of At-Tahawiyyah, he said, Walaykum As-Salaam wa Rahmatullah. And just as the station of Al-Khulla, the station of being a Khalil, an especially beloved one of Allah, which is confirmed for Ibrahim, salawatullahi alayhi, he is shared with that, he is shared in that by our Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as has already preceded. I mean, Ibrahim alayhi salam was especially beloved of Allah, but so was our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he said, and likewise, the status of being spoken to directly, which is confirmed for Musa, salawatullahi alayhi, then he is shared with that by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well, as occurs in the hadith of the Isra, the hadith of the ascent through the heavens. In other words, that with regard to the being Khalil of Allah, especially beloved of Allah, then there are two who have that quality only, Ibrahim and Muhammad alayhimus salatu wassalam. And likewise with regard to the second quality, being the Kaleem of Allah, one spoken to directly by Allah, then there are two prophets who have that quality as well, Musa alayhi salam and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as is clear from the hadith of the Isra and Mi'raj, when he ascended and then Allah spoke directly to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and made the five obligatory prayers obligatory upon him. And we'll leave the rest until next time, inshaAllah. And the next point 122, وَنُؤْمِنُوا بِالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. And we have iman, true faith, in the angels and the prophets. So if there are any points of clarification? No. His own particular degree of virtue. Yeah. The point that Sheikh Fawzan made, that each prophet was given his own particular level of virtue, and other prophets given different levels. The one who was given the most excellence was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then Ibrahim alayhi salam had the virtue of being a Khalil as well. Musa alayhi salam had the virtue of being spoken to directly. Each different prophet had a certain level of virtue, and they varied in that. That's right. The sheikh didn't mention. He didn't say each prophet has got one particular virtue that's particular to him alone. He didn't say that. Just said each of them has got their own level of virtue. They've all got, as he said, a very high level of virtue and excellence, and they vary within that. And some have excellence over others. But as for each one having a particular quality, a particular virtuous quality, which none of the others had, or the like, no, he didn't say that. With regard to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was the most excellent of all of the prophets and messengers, and the most excellent of the creation, no doubt. As he himself said, "Ana sayyidu waladi Adam wa la fakhr." I am the most noble of the sons of Adam, and that's no boast. I mean, it's a fact. In the virtues, he was the most virtuous out of all of them, and overall, he was the most virtuous. And obviously, with regard to al-khulla that was given to Ibrahim alaihi wasallam, then he had that as well. With regard to being spoken to directly that Musa alayhi salam had, then he had that as well. And no doubt. And likewise the hadith of the intercession as well. The people on the day of the hadith in Bukhari, the long hadith in Bukhari of intercession. On the day of judgment, the people go to the major prophets to seek and to ask them to intercede with Allah for the resurrection to start. And none of them will do that. They all send him to the next one until eventually it come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he will intercede. And likewise, it's the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who is granted that al maqam al mahmud, the praiseworthy standing place, where he will intercede. It will be granted to only one of the creation, and it will be him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he has virtue over all of them. السلام ورحمة الله. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.